Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Compliance Week News Podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and today we are going to talk about new guidance from the Securities and Exchange Commission that is probably going to make it easier for shareholder activists to get certain types of new shareholder resolutions included in the proxy statement. As you may have already seen, on October 27th, the SEC published this new guidance that essentially said the SEC would no longer automatically allow companies to exclude shareholder resolutions that either pertain to CEO succession or to risk assessments, when historically companies did have an easier time of keeping those resolutions off their proxy statements. Now companies are going to need to ask the SEC for a no-action letter allowing them to take such exclusions. And the strong suggestion here is that permission is probably not going to come all that easily for corporations. Now, to help us understand what this new guidance means, we are joined by David Lin, who is a partner and co-chair in the Public Companies Group of the Securities Practice at the law firm of Morrison & Forrester. So, David, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
Now, first question is just if you could give us some background on the SEC's decision to issue this new guidance. Did that come from rising shareholder demands, or does the agency have some other goal in mind with this new guidance, or where did this come from?
Sure. I think it's very important in looking at this development to really understand some of the background, because it does have some developing concerns over the last few years about this particular basis for exclusion. But just to sort of step back and what we're talking about here, the shareholder proposals can show up on a company's proxy statement, and 14A8, the Exchange Act rule and the proxy rules governs when a company can exclude a shareholder proposal. And generally, in accomplishing and seeking to do that, the company goes to the SEC staff, and the SEC staff provides a view on the company's ability to exclude the proposal. Mm-hmm. And so what we're talking about with respect to this staff legal bulletin that just came out is it's expressing how the staff is going to approach giving that view in the upcoming proxy season. And really the focus here for, I think it's important to keep in mind, is the focus of the staff legal bulletin is on Rule 14A8(i)(7), which is the often referred to as the ordinary business exclusion, which essentially stands for the proposition that if a shareholder proposal seeks to or relates to a matter that's really within the ordinary business province of the company, then it should be excluded because the company should be able to, management and the board of directors should be able to operate the company for its day-to-day business operations. Mm-hmm. But the complication arises under this ordinary business exclusion when you have a situation where there's essentially a significant social policy issue, which is determined to transcend the ordinary business and thereby be a matter that shareholders would have a significant interest in voting on in the proxy statement. And generally, the SEC staff is the one who's making the call on what is and what is not the type of significant social policy issue that transcends ordinary business, and they're looking at essentially looking at the political landscape, how big this issue is from an overall perspective of societal and political norms. And so really what happened for the better part of this decade is that in looking at these kind of proposals, the staff basically made a cut where it said if a proposal focused on a company taking steps to address things like the environment or public health, that would generally not be excludable from a proxy statement based on the fact that the matters raised some significant social policy issue and thus transcended ordinary business. So, for instance, a proposal might ask the company to undertake providing a report on some sort of environmental or public health matter that relates to the company's business, and so that would go into the proxy season. If, however, the proposal focused on the company engaging in some sort of internal assessment of the risks or liabilities that were faced as a result of operations that could adversely affect the environment or public health, talking in the same context, then the staff would concur with the company that there was a basis to exclude this proposal under 14.8(i)(7) because it was relating to an evaluation of these risks and liabilities as opposed to relating specifically to the underlying social policy matter. And so this had been articulated, this had come up in no action letters repeatedly over the years, and then was articulated in sort of a interpretive form in Staff Legal Bulletin 14C. And a lot of complaints of shareholder proponents then ensued with this policy, basically arguing this is really sort of form over substance when you know, the evaluation of risk and the relevance of these risks to the company of things like global warming or other social policy issues might be significant. And sort of that investor shareholder backlash against this position culminated in a letter to then President-elect Obama back in the fall of last year, that was written by a sort of a broad spectrum of shareholder proponents, investor firms, institutional investors, and other investor groups who've sought for the SEC to reverse this position. And then just a few months back in September of this year, a group of shareholder proponents went in and talked with the staff of the Division of Corporation Finance, and this was really an issue that was front and center on their agenda, asking for the staff to revisit this position. And so now, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to ask this, the arrival of this specific guidance, this is not catching a whole lot of people by complete surprise.
No, I think it's been very much in the consciousness of companies and proponents that deal with these issues because it has been such a public debate about the appropriateness of the way the staff had made the cut in Staff Legal Bulletin 14C and the letters that preceded it.
Now, let me ask about some of the specific language here. Earlier I had said that the guidance now will generally look favorably on resolutions that involve risk assessments, but risk assessments is a rather vague phrase. Could you maybe give us some examples about just what sort of proposals would qualify there and which ones might not?
Sure, absolutely. Basically now in the context of the new guidance in Staff Legal Bulletin, it says essentially, a company won't be able to exclude a shareholder proposal solely because the proposal requires the company to engage in an evaluation of risks and liabilities that it faces as a result of the underlying issue that comes up, and they'll really look at that underlying subject matter of the risk evaluation and apply the ordinary business or transcending ordinary business analytical framework to that matter. So, for example, before you might have had a proposal that said shareholders are requesting a report on the potential environmental damage that would result from a company drilling for oil and gas in the Arctic region, mm-hmm. for instance. And that would be excludable, or that would not be excludable because it deals with a significant social policy issue and transcends ordinary business. So that could go into the proxy statement. But if it had been before this legal bulletin had been recast to say we want a report on the economic risks associated with that potential environmental damage that might arise from drilling for oil and gas in the Arctic regions, then prior to this new guidance, you could have argued to the staff that that should be excludable, and they probably would have agreed that it would have been excludable. So now in the context of the new guidance, you'll see more proposals that could relate to a variety of underlying social policy issues, such as environmental, public policy, healthcare, and things of that nature that that previously might have only been dealt with outside of the context of a risk assessment. And then, in addition, the bulletin states. Has some language that says there's widespread recognition that the board's role in oversight of management of risk is a significant policy matter regarding governance of a corporation. And in light of this, a proposal that focuses on a board's role in oversight of the company's management of risk may transcend day-to-day business matters of a company and raise significant social policy issues, just paraphrasing there what they said. So that opens up the door to other proposals that are more oriented towards the board's role in overseeing management evaluation of risk. So I think that could set forth a sort of new class of proposals that might be seen this proxy season and going forward. Yeah.
Earlier, I had said that essentially with this guidance, the SEC was also telegraphing that, you know, you can ask for these no action letters, but you really should not be holding your breath waiting to receive one. Is that fair to say that they really are now going to err on the side of the shareholder rather than the side of the company?
Certainly in the context of when a company is arguing the ordinary business exclusion, 14A8I7, as I mentioned, the result is going to be somewhat foretold by this guidance. Now, that said, it's important to keep in mind that there may be other bases for exclusion because the rule provides many different bases for exclusion, not just I7. So, for instance, you might be able to argue that the proposal or the subject matter of the proposal has been substantially implemented. You might be able to argue duplication with another proposal. You may be able to argue relevance, although the standard is relatively low for the relevance exclusion in the context of social policy issues. Or you may also argue one thing sort of inherent in the I-7 approach is you can argue micromanagement, that if the proposal is actually seeking to micromanage the business affairs of the companies, then that may be a basis for exclusion. So you don't necessarily have to give up hope that the proposal couldn't be excluded because there may be other bases, but with respect to I-7, the argument will be very difficult.
And we just have a minute or so here for my last question. It's just any other thoughts you might have about how companies could try to get in front of these shareholder issues rather than have to go to seek some sort of a no-action request or wind up with an unwanted resolution sneaking onto the proxy statement. How can they best get in front of this problem?
Yeah, I think one of the trends that I've seen in the last few years is really the level of engagement with proponents has been increasing, and proponents have been willing to work with the companies in some cases to come up with some sort of compromise or approach. And so I think that's always one of the first avenues to consider before going down the road of a no-action letter process with the staff, is just engaging, see what the shareholders want, seeing if the company can provide something along the lines of what they want, and seeking to address the particular concerns. And certainly if you're a company that's in the past gotten these sort of social policy type of issues, then you'll need to really evaluate whether they're going to morph into risk assessment issues and whether you should be out front and contacting the proponents to sort of address the concerns at the front end of the process.
All right. Well, David, that is all the time we have today, but you gave us plenty to think about, so we really appreciate all of your time.
My pleasure.
And again, everybody, that was David Lynn of the law firm Morrison & Forster talking with us about the SEC's new guidance on what sort of shareholder resolutions companies can keep off or on their 2010 proxy statements. That is all for this week's podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you join us again next time.